Good morning. Welcome into In Focus News Radio KMAN. Got a busy show lined up for you today. A lot of political candidate interviews coming up later this hour. We're going to hear from Bill Clifford. We'll also hear the two Pottawatomie County Commission candidates, Pat Waxelman and Nancy McCarter. But we're going to lead things off first. I'll leave politics aside for right now and talk outdoor stuff with Ben Jedlicka, game warden with the Kansas Department of Wildlife, Parks, and Tourism. Ben, good to have you on.
Good morning, Brandon. Good morning, Dave.
Dave, yes.
Howdy, partner.
It's a great day. July, the whole month has been a pretty good July.
I've been getting out and doing some fishing out the river pond.
Well, that's a great place. It's out of the wind.
Yeah. No kidding. I haven't had much luck out there.
I've got some fish stories here, short stories, but there's fish that we don't want.
And what, like carp?
Yes, and carp were brought in long, long ago, and they caused problems. In fact, Milford has, I hate to say it, Milford's gone 2 years without blue-green algae, and it's back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not helped by carp. Those bottom-feeding fish stir up the bottom and make the blue-green algae worse.
I understand there's no limit on carp.
No limit whatsoever.
Catch now, one, throw it up on the bank.
Out there long
Let the raccoons at, have it.
River pond. And those fish feeders would attract the carp in. And at that time, you couldn't gig carp. But you may gig carp now. That law changed in order that you could use that fishing method.
All right. Well, I know you have a lot of discussion here on some of the invasive species and some of those that really cause problems for the outdoors.
But a good place to start is common carp, and that's what we have most everywhere. When it's warm, they'll be up in the shallow spawning, and they kind of stir up the mud. There's not a thing we can do about it. They've been here for years and years, all over for years and years, and there's no hope for getting rid of them. But there's other kinds of carp, and there's silver carp, big head carp, and black carp, and they're all on a list that they cannot be imported into Kansas, so they can't be used for bait, and we want to keep them out. You've maybe seen stories about these carp that you're in a boat and they jump up and they're spooked by the boat. They jump about 4 or 5 feet in the air, and then they're kind of a boating hazard because they'll hit you in the head or you'll run into them. And that's a silver carp. And those are in Kansas, but on the Kansas River and beyond Topeka. So downriver from Topeka.
You know what my favorite carp is?
A dead one.
A dead one. Absolutely.
No, I don't know.
A dead one.
I'm sorry, say it again?
A dead one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I guessed it.
Biggest fish I ever caught was a carp.
They don't help the native population. If you have a lot of carp, then they're making the fishing worse. So getting rid of, if you catch them, take them out. So, and then I'd appreciate it if you dispose of them properly. They can, when they get accumulated just up on the bank, especially Rocky Ford, it just makes it an unpleasant situation. So
how do you
Rocky
dispose
got
of one
way
proper?
Too much water going through. I don't know. There's probably some fish in there, but there's a lot of water.
How do you dispose of a carp properly?
Well, there'd be a fish cleaning station would chew it up, but we don't have too many of those. I'm not sure that it's so bad that it goes back in the water after you've rendered it. You can release it after making sure it won't survive and Mother Nature will take its course.
Gotcha. Okay.
I heard the zoo has a free day tomorrow.
Yes.
I was there last year. It couldn't be a better day coming up. And some of that, a zoo has to be very, very careful not to let animals get into the wild to where they start their own populations. And I'm kind of, well, those three carp are Asian carp. There was reports of a black carp being in the Kansas River on this side of Topeka, but they came up the river in the 93 flood. There were six documented. They were older fish, and apparently they didn't find each other because we don't have a documented case of black carp above Topeka or west of Topeka after that 93 flood. But we've had a lot of high water since. What has made it up this way? Hard to know. In fact, I think it's hard to sample because we haven't seen a sandbar. This is almost in two summers. I mean, we've had a lot of water in the Kansas River, and we do now.
What about some other species that we should watch out for? I see mussels here on the list.
Well, just like the carp, the white perch, I'm sorry, another fish. Hmm. Now, we do have white perch in several reservoirs. They never get really that big. That's another one that we don't want to move from reservoir to reservoir. But you were asking about mussels, and everyone is well aware of zebra mussels. And if you go to the zoo, you may get to see zebra mussels, but they'll be in an acrylic cube. They're done. Zebra mussels we do have in Milford Reservoir. They're really easy to find when the water goes down. By the way, Milford's up 4 feet. Milford or Tuttle's up 10 in the next few days. So Tuttle does have zebra mussels, but you won't find them lining the bank like you do at Milford. Other mussels. There's a quag. You'll have to look up the pronunciation. A quagga mussel or a quagga mussel is much even worse than a zebra mussel. A zebra mussel grows on rocks and structure. This other one grows on the floor or on the bottom. They don't need a structure to attach to. And I really don't know where those are, but they. I think maybe Colorado has some of those. Don't hold me to that one. I've studied up on this, but there's a lot of material. So.
And what kind of problems do they pose here when they, because it seems like they like to attach to things.
Jeffers Energy Center has had a lot of cost. Anybody that has an intake or some structure in the water where those zebra mussels attach to, that causes a lot of cost. It's just a detrimental animal and doesn't belong here. It came in as a round goby is another goby. I got to get it right. The round goby is another fish that came in on the Great Lakes. The Great Lakes, and there's hundreds of invasive species in the United States. And many of them come in through the Great Lakes with the shipping that goes on there. This round goby is about a palm-sized fish, and I think they're in Arkansas in the Mississippi River. But they take the place of a native animal. Now there's two more. You know, you asked about mussels, but there's a mud snail and then crayfish that are that we don't want in Kansas. And they can get moved through, some species have gotten moved through pet stores. The marbled crayfish and that New Zealand mud snail, both of those are able to reproduce asexually. It only takes one. I had a judge long ago say, I think about one deer in our county would be about right. And in this case, these animals are able to reproduce without a mate. Doesn't take two of them.
So that could be obviously a big problem here if they were introduced here. What is there penalties here for introducing these types of species into our waters?
Oh yes, but we're not the zebra mussel is a good example. There's a lot of public education that's gone on in order to dry your boat, disinfect the boat, in order that they don't get moved. They start out, and they're microscopic. They're very easily moved within the bilge of a boat or any water. The penalties, one thing we have is that you cannot move live fish from any infected water. So it kind of goes back to that carp caught at Rocky Ford. What do you do with it? Well, you can't take it live, and in fact, you can't take any fish live from Rocky Ford, Milford Reservoir, Tuttle Creek Reservoir, because those are infected waters.
All right, again, we're speaking with Ben Jedlicka here, warden with the Kansas Department of Wildlife, Parks, and Tourism. Ben, we only have a little bit more time left here. What else do you want to talk about here this morning?
Well, there's one that, I'm getting away from the fish, but a monk parakeet, it causes problems in southeast United States. They are sold in the pet trade, but they may not be sold in Kansas, and they may not be imported into Kansas. I know of a situation where someone had one of these as a pet, and you know how people are attached to their pet. It's part of the family. Even a parakeet, part of the family. And they made the choice to live in Kansas City, Missouri, rather than Kansas City, Kansas, and commute to Kansas City, Kansas to work. So a monk parakeet can be purchased at a pet store, but not in Kansas. So there's that's another one of the species on the list that may not be imported into Kansas.
All right, and if people have questions or concerns, I guess you probably have some of this information online, huh?
Oh, yeah, it's online, and I'm sure my time's... How much time we got left?
We got about a minute.
Okay, well, let me give you just a couple deadlines coming up. August 14th, anybody that has an out-of-state deer permit may cancel and get a refund. August 14th. Is the last day that they can get a refund. And just as a reminder, this past spring, we quit selling turkey out of state. So I just want to make a reminder to anyone that has friends coming that need to change their plans. And this is related, of course, to COVID-19, but August 14th. Now, by the way, that August 14th date of canceling an out-of-state tag that they've already purchased, that tag does go back up for sale as a leftover. And that's a pretty big change. But August 14th, I want to remind you of that date. And,
All right. Well, Ben, we'll keep that in mind. I'll mark my calendar. Thank you so much for being here. We'll talk to you again next month.
Okay. Thank you, Brandon.
All right. Sounds good. Ben Jedlicka from the Kansas Department of Wildlife, Parks, and Tourism on In Focus. Stay tuned. We'll hear from Bill Clifford up next here on News Radio KMAN.